نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله جميعا وأجرنا من النار أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 7th day of Ramadan, 1429, in bracket the 6th of September, 2008. Still with Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, we are moving on with Ayah 137, if you can recall. So, Ali, اقرأ شيخ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد خلت من قبلكم سنن فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين.
قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد خلت من قبلكم سنن فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. قد خلت من قبلكم سنن. سنن is the plural form of sunnah. Sunnah means a way, a pattern. Okay? Any way that goes on in life can be called a sunnah. Literally. But Allah has His own pattern and sunnah, and that is the one being referred to here. Allah's sunnah is when the criminal do criminal behaviors, they are instantly taken to the task. That is Allah's sunnah. It is part of Allah's sunnah, you have to eat before you get satisfied with food. It is of course part of sunnah as well. You have to be married to carry out the necessary relations with your wife. Perchance Allah blesses you with a babe. You don't say, okay, I just want to have a babe without marrying anyone. Allah's sunnah is referred to cause and effect. Do something and then you expect of the answer. Now, it's part of Allah's sunnah, as we have said, the unbelievers used to disobey Allah and they were met with stiffest forms of punishment. So now Ayah 137 reminds the world, and particularly the Meccans, who proved arrogant, intransigent, that قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَصِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Certainly, sunan, that is ways of life, did come upon other people that came before you, Meccans. They disobeyed and they are punished. Simple. So fasiru fil ard, go ye, okay, travel throughout the earth to see for yourself. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. You go and see what was the end of those who rejected the truth. It's very important to live by example. And by this I mean, you go around and see what happens, so that makes you control yourself. It serves as a deterrent for a will-be or for the will-be criminal. So that is the message of Ayah 137. لَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُلَنٌ فَصِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. The next ayah says, هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَمَوْئِذٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a plain and explicit statement. That is, what you've been reading from the Quran is but a categorically clear, explicit, plain statement. No one listens to the Quran without him understanding what it is saying. It's not ambiguous, it's categorical, it's plain, explicit, emphatical. Unless if something is placed on the heart of the one receiving the message and he develops some unnecessary detachment, so to say, from the message being rehearsed, being stated, been explained to him. Otherwise, هذا بيان للناس. Message للناس, for mankind. For mankind. Okay. وهدن, and a guidance. وموعدة للمتقين, and instruction to those who fear Allah. Three characteristics or sifat or attributes. بيان للناس, هدن, موعظة. Each and every one of these, when you read the Quran, you find them abundantly. Clear statements, guidance, instruction. Next ayah.
وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So don't lose heart. That's وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here comforting, yeah, comforting the Sahaba that suffered that defeat during the battle of Uhud for their single act of disobedience. Yet they have been drawn that please don't lose heart, don't feel demoralized, don't feel dejected, okay? وَلَا تَهِنُوا, don't lose heart. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and don't fall into despair, to be desperate, to be unnecessarily aggrieved at heart. Don't exhibit these qualities. Because وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, you are the one to gain mastery. The upper hand is going to be your own, but with conditions. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That's the condition. If you are true in faith. And it is applicable even today. We say وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ بِشَرْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If really we maintain the faith, the belief, the iman, there is no reason why a believer should fall into despair, into pessimism, into dejection. Because this is what Allah is telling you. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. Because those with iman definitely are al-a'lawn and not al-adnawn. Because al-adnaun is the opposite expression of al-a'la. But if you are true believers. Next ayah.
إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين.
Still, this ayah taken in the same spirit of comforting the Sahaba that suffered defeat. Let's say something until on this battle of Uhud. We did ask last time trying to know the year in which the battle took place. And the answer we received was that it took place in the third year of what? Hijra. The Meccans came to Medina. They were 10,000 in number. The Sahaba were only 1,000. You can see the number. So the fighting started. I did say last time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam appointed a group of people known as the Achers or Akers under the command of Abdullah ibn Jubayr, warning them, never you leave your position, remain here, wait for my command to come to reach you. Unfortunately, no sooner had the encounter started than they fled. I mean the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, some of them. Ibn Jubayr was calling them, come back, listen to what the Prophet says. No, you see, the booties have been collected. So that gave a chance to that time Khalid ibn al-Walid, who didn't become a Muslim then, and he was an expert, militarily speaking. Seeing that they left the position, and then he came in, surrounding the remnant of Sahaba. And there, what happened did happen. 70 of the Sahaba were killed. Matayat, Hamza, Ibn Abi Talib, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, inclusive. You know what happened? The Meccans, in order to revenge the humiliating defeat they suffered in Badr, they came along with their wives. The husbands taking front lines, the wives behind them, watching them. Not any husband dares go back. When you look, you see your wife looking at you. They went singing behind Hindu, saying, نَحْنُ بَنَاتُ طَارِقْ نَمْشِي أَنَا النَّمَارِقْ إِنْ تُقْبِلُوا نُعَانِقْ. But we are the daughters of Tariq. We are here. Our husbands, if you turn away, we are going to divorce you. That served as an impetus for the men to exhibit rare courage. Before that time, Hindu, the wife of Abu Sufyan, the king of Mecca then, invited one Abyssinian slave boy, his name Abu Damsa, known as Wahshi. Wahsh or Wahshi literally means savage, barbaric, someone with savagery, without some human touch in his behavioral pattern. She said, I want you to kill for me one of the three. Preferably kill Muhammad for me, and I'm going to pay you handsomely. He said, no, that's very difficult. As for Muhammad, إِنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَحْمِي. He had a Lord providing for him ample protection. Beyond my capacity and reach. Okay, Ali. He said, "Inna Aliyan shuja'a, la yusari'uhu ahadun illa wa yataghallabu alayhi." Ali is someone that is courageous beyond my ability to face him. His courage. What of Hamza? He said, "Laysa aqall shuja'an, lakinnani uhawil an ba'id." He's not less courageous, but let me try him from a distant position. And that's what happened. He brought his massively, tremendously poisoned arrow. Some said daggers. And he used it in killing Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And Hamza fell down as a martyr. Not only that, when the battle came to an end, Hindu, the wife of the king of Maccabees, first she promised that her husband should not even touch her until a revenge was taken for the death of her father. Okay? Who was killed in Badr? Her father was sent by the Meccans to go and tell the Prophet that if he was in need of anything material, anything political, anything economical, they are more than ready to provide. Let him just stop this kind of propagation he was doing. So they sent one of their eloquent persons, Utbatu ibn Rabi'ah, who happened to be the father of Hindu, the wife of Abu Sufyan. So Utba went and met the Prophet. Ya Muhammad, inni ji'tuka min qawmik. Innaka ji'ta farraqta qawmak. I came from your people. You've divided people. Satan's father against his son and vice versa. I am the emissary. If you are in need of something material, they are going, jama'ana kamalan hatta, jama'ana la kamalan hatta takuna aktharana mala. Will amass wealth for you until you become the wealthiest of us. He finished all his assignment. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was just listening to him. You finished? He said, "I finished. Listen to me." And he started reading Quran. Some ulama were saying he started by reading Taha.
طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى.
Utba was crying, not because he believed. He was in tears because the Quran touched him. He didn't believe. He said, "What?" And he went back to the Meccans. When they saw him, they say, "Utba returned to us with a face which he didn't go out here with." With a different face, in other words. So he said to them, "Qulna inna Muhammadan kahin wallahi laysa bi kahinin. Wa qulna innahu majnunun inna kalamahu laysa ka kalam al majnun." We said he was a soothsayer. Nay, he is not a soothsayer. Madman, no. They said, "Uskut laqad saharaka Muhammadun bi kalamihi." He has charmed you with his own nice words. Unfortunately for this man Utba, he didn't become a Muslim. So he was killed in Badr. La ilaha illallah. You know, that's another thing. He was killed in Badr. In fact, his dead body was so swollen beyond control. He burst out. A'udhu billah. His dead body, Utba ibn Rabi'ah, the brother of Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, and Abu al-Bakhtar ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, was also killed there by small children in Badr. Some of them 14, 13. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, show us Abu Jahl. What do you want?" "We want to kill him because he has been disturbing Allah's messenger. We want to do that as an act of sacrifice act of ibadah in the sight of Allah. He died there. Abu Lahab didn't go. But when he got the information that his friend Abu Jahl died, he had had a cup. He died as well. As a kafir. When the Prophet ﷺ was going around the dead bodies of unbelievers in Badr, we're talking about Uhud, now I've gone back to Badr because of connection of Utbah. So go back there. The Prophet ﷺ looked at the dead body of Abu Jahl, he said what? هَذَا فِرْعَوْنُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ هَذَا فِرْعَوْنُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ This is the Pharaoh of this Ummah. What is that? Abu Jahl. So Utbah died there. So his daughter, what was her name? Hindu, promised that her husband, Abu Sufyan, should not touch her. Shouldn't have anything to do with her, between wife and husband, until he has taken a revenge against the killers of her father. That's number one. She refused to apply any perfume on her body or cosmetic until the kill has been avenged, the killer has been avenged. So in the process, like I was telling you, she employed the services of that man, Wahshu, known as Abu Damsa, and he killed Hamza. So she came round, parading, looking round. She went to the dead bodies of the Muslims. Each dead body she came across, she will mutilate it. On coming to the dead body of Hamza, the mutilation was severe. Plucking the ears, okay, opening the stomach, bringing the intestine, chewing the liver. Ha, la ilaha illallah. Because of the level of the disbelief at her heart, at her brain. And then she gave a scream. But you know, finally she embraced Islam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. She treated the body of Hamza severely, you know, animalistically, barbarically. When the Prophet saw the dead body, he promised to take a revenge out of 10 people for Hamza. Allah said, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوْقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. So some ulama said the Prophet had to do expiation, fasting for 3 days for kafara. Hamza died there, Sayyid al-Shuhada. When Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam was going around the dead bodies, she saw a woman coming. It was Safiya, the sister of Hamza, the elder sister of Abdullah, the father of the Prophet. She was opening the battlefield. Zubair said to her, Ya ummi, irji'i, qalat lastu laka umman, limada tafirruna an rasulillah. I am not your mother. You are running out from the Prophet. You are no longer male. If you can fight, we women are going to fight and defend you. Women, we are there in the battlefield. He said, no, Prophet, you should go back. She said, I know it is my brother Hamza killed. And I leave this in the hand of Allah. May Allah have mercy on my brother Hamza. And she withdrew. All this took place in the battlefield of Uhud. Then Abu Sufyan, the king of Mecca, screamed. Because there was one kafir, his name is Ibn Qami'ah. When the Sahaba deserted their appointed place, the Prophet left without protection. So this kafir, Ibn Qami'ah, threw a stone on the Prophet. And then he screamed, I swear by Lat and Uzza, their gods in Mecca, I have killed Muhammad. Ha. This one sent a trouble in the hearts of the Sahaba. They became demoralized, saying, okay, if our leader has been killed, for what are we fighting? Let's go back. Some said, no, we shall remain here and maintain the ideal for which he died. Let us die on what he died on. Then Allah sent an ayah. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Muhammad was a messenger. If he gets killed, or he dies, then you turn against your iman, you won. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. All this in Surah Ali Imran. Then a woman by the name Nasiba or Nusaiba bint Kab was the one that fought fighting about 70 unbelievers alone to keep them away from the Prophet ﷺ. She used to say, when I look my right and left, I saw her fighting. A woman. It was then Abu Sufyan screamed, saying, Atikun Ibn Abi Dhibin, is Muhammad amongst you? The Prophet said, don't utter a word, don't reply him. Three times. Then he said, Afikum Ibn Abi Quhafa. It's Ibn Abi Quhafa, meaning Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Alive, he said, don't say a word to him. Afikum Ibn al-Khattab, three times. Don't reply him. Then Abu Sufyan said, A'alu Hubal, greatness belongs to Hubal. Who is Hubal? Was the chief idol in Mecca then being worshipped. Hearing this, the Prophet said, reply him. So the ulama here are telling us, because of the importance of Aqidah, he was attacked, he said, maintain silence. When Allah was taught, he said, talk. See the message. Sa'ala Tarduna Ali, answer him. Can't you him? Uplifting false gods? Six. Reply. Then they said, what's Lucy, Ya Rasulullah? So tell him, Allahu A'la wa Ajal. Allah is higher. Okay. He's done with everything and not the other. This tells you about the importance of what Aqidah. All this took place during the Battle of Uhud. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Abu Sufyan as well embraced Islam. Later, this man Wahsh, who killed Hamza, also embraced Islam. He killed another Kafir in a battle of Yamama, saying, this is for that. Meaning, oh Allah, I am killing this great enemy, hoping that you stamp out my sin, what is concerning Hamza. Allahu Ghafur Rahim. Now, Hindu came. The Prophet ﷺ took long time talking about Hamza. And then she came. Oh, Allah's Messenger, what do you say? Even if a killer of Hamza comes to become a Muslim, will you accept him? He took a deep breath. He said, why not? To Allah belongs everything. She embraced Islam. The ulama we are saying, Prophet has vowed that the blood of Hamza will not go to the hellfire. But in this case, his blood was in her stomach now. She chewed his liver. So does that mean if she goes to the hellfire, his blood technically, okay, or literally was going to the hellfire? Some are saying through this miraculous way, she was saved. It's very easy for Allah to, Azza wa Jal, to forgive her and give Hamza everything. Allahu ala kulli shayin qadir. 70 of the Sahaba, prayer was not said on their dead body until after some years, some 1 year or some are saying 3 years, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed on their graves. To tell you, he who dies as a martyr in the battlefield, don't say prayer on the dead body. Yeah. anybody at any matayado being killed in the battlefield as a shaheed, you don't worship. You put him just in the shroud, he'll be enshrouded. Prayer shouldn't be said on a dead body. The blood dropping on the day of judgment will be dropping fresh. The color is of the blood, but the smell is of the musk. This tells about the beauty of matado for the sake of Allah. So now when you go to Medina, it is sunnatic that you go and pay a visit to Uhud. Not to go and ask them, as some people are doing, some ignoramuses. You just go there and seek for Allah's forgiveness for them. So we've taken time a little to say more concerning what took place during the battle of what? Uhud. Now, according to the Muslim Chronicles writers, they say any military encounter that the Prophet participates in Allah is called what? Ghazwa. Yes. Anyone that he deputized somebody to go is called what? Sariya. May I ask how many Ghazawat, how many Saraya? The ulama has calculated the number of Ghazawat that the Prophet participated. How many Ghazawat? Okay, how many Saraya? Because Saraya is the jam' of Sariya. Ghazawat is the jam' of Ghazwa. How many Ghazawat? How many Saraya? No answer? 27? What? Saraya. Beg your pardon. It is 27 Ghazawat. Because the Sarayas are more in number than Ghazawat. So you have 27 Ghazawat, the one he participated personally, and 47 Saraya. Some took place after his death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now back to the ayah. إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْضٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْضٌ مِثْلُهُ. If a wound has touched you, Allah was telling the Sahaba, okay, if you feel you have some wound, you sustain some difficulties because of the war of Uhud, فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْضٌ مِثْلُهُ. The people you waged war against, the unbelievers, too, sustain the same wounds. So the difficulties was not one-sided or lopsided. Okay, it's on both sides. But you additionally are expecting Allah's pleasure because we are fighting on His own side, whereas they are fighting to defend the cause of what? Injustice. So إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. And then he says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Such days of varying fortunes, we give them to men by count. Meaning, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. The days of varying, of changing fortunes are given to men in count. Today you have success, the other day you are defeated, that is nudawilaha. Today you are happy, tomorrow you are unhappy, nudawilaha. Today you are wealthy, tomorrow you are something else, nudawilaha. Even in fighting, no matter how faithful you are, you cannot expect to be constantly, perpetually gaining success in battlefield. Allah's sunnah is that today you may have success and tomorrow you're defeated. Yeah. Isn't it? So Allah's sunnah was kind of placating them, comforting them. Take it easy. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Today for you, tomorrow against you. That is نُدَاوِلُهَا. Then وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. Allah does this so that He may expose He may make it explicitly clear who are the true believers. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, so that he may take to himself from your ranks who are martyrs and who bear witnesses. Meaning by doing this, you are going to be killed and you are going to be uplifted to the position of martyrdom. Okay? And those that are going to be your witnesses in the sight of Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah loves not those who do wrong things. A zalim is a wrongdoer. Next ayah.
وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah did all this to you so as to purge those who are truthful in belief. Purge. P-U-R-G-E. In a purging. يُمَحِّص. To clean, in other words. To purify. Okay. To sift the true believers from those that are not true in their belief. Because during tasking period like this, the believers are easily known. The pseudo believers are also known. Okay. So Allah says, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and to deprive the unbelievers of the blessings of Allah. That is al-mahq. Just as in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Buyur, if the two bargainers become truthful, Allah puts barakah in their commercial bargain. But if they prove dubious, unfaithful, muhiqat, look at the word, muhiqat, the bargain is deprived of Allah's barakah. That is al-mahq. Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Okay? Mahq is to remove the barakah, the blessing. So Allah does all this to purify the believers who are truthful and to deprive the unbelievers of his blessings. Next ayah.
أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
أها. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. This question in ayah 142 is echoed by another ayah in Surah العنكبوت. الإسلام من أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فلا يعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولا يعلمن الكاذبين. Another ayah echoes is in Al-Baqarah. أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. You take them together because Quran, one part of it translate the other part. We call this التفسير بالمعصور. Okay, لأن القرآن يفسر بعضه بعضا. So أم حسبتم أن تدخل الجنة. What do you think? Allah will freely grant you entry into the paradise just like this, gratis, prior to the test? Impossible. Allah's pattern is that you have to be tested. Allah knows you before being tested, but this is pattern. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi was asked, they say, Ya Imamana, ayyuhuma afdal lil'abd, an yumakkinahu Allahu fil ardi am an yabtaliyahu. Which is better for a man, for a believer, just to be granted entry into the paradise or to be tested first? He said, no. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَنْ يُمَكِّنَ أَحَدًا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ إِنْ صَبَرْ فَنِعِمْ فَإِلَّا فَعَلَيْهِ. Allah has to try you. So trial is part of the puzzle of Allah's pattern. You are going to be tried in your family, in your health, in your activities, with your father at an old age, the point of senility, now senile, the weakness of mental capacity. He is behaving like now a child. Allah tries you. You say, please, daddy, don't worry me. You have failed woefully in your examination. Believe me. He says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحَمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. In Surah Al-Isra. Don't say a word of harshness. So somebody living with all parents is really facing trial. The point of your father, your mother is bedridden, incapacitated by sickness, even defecating there, passing human excrement there, Allah tries you. How are you going to do? What are you going to do? The American way. They say, oh please, I'm worried. Allah tries you. If you remain patient, you remain focused, you maintain the position. Say, oh Allah, uphold me. Let me not get angry. Because you may grow older, older than the frailty of their own old age. And you will see the negative effect of your own bad behavior if ever you did it to them. I was reading a book. There was a young boy. His father grew old with him. One day the boy said, please daddy, come on, accompany me. Why? I said, no, just follow me. And he followed him. They were going into the jungles until the father was smelling rats. Say, hey, where are you taking this? So, no, Baba, take it easy. I just want to slaughter you. So what? Yeah, I want to slaughter you. He said, what? Want to slaughter you, I say. He said, okay, if you insist, take me around that very stone under the tree. It was there I slaughtered my own father. Jaza'an wifaqa. Kama tadinu tudan. As you planted, so you are going to reap. What you have done is what you are going to see. The young boy didn't even know. He said, if you insist, take me there. I did it to my father, that very place, take me there, do it there. Natural justice. Divine intervention. Tit for tat is a good game. So please live a godly life. To the best of your ability. Nobody is calling you to be angel-like. No. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Okay, so here Allah says this. You assume you will enter paradise just like this. ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم. Without Allah testing those of you who fought hard in His cause. Okay. ويعلم الصابرين. Without exposing those who remain steadfast. Trial has to be before you can attain His pleasure. Next ayah.
وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ.
وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. We used to be clamoring for death. Oh, you Allah's messenger. We are looking for the day when jihad is going to come. We are going to fight. Okay, now it did come. Why are you running away now? So the ulama are saying, when you are living in peace and tranquility, don't ask for any trouble. When finally it does come, don't look for any excuse of running away. That is why in a hadith, as reported by Asyuti in Miftah al-Jannah, that إذا وقع الوباء بأرض قوم فلا يخرج من كان داخلها ولا يقدمن عليها من كان خارجها. If an epidemic, a catastrophe takes place in a country, in a town, in a village, in a locality, in a settlement, those inside shouldn't go out. Those outside shouldn't go in or come in. Because to go out tantamount to wanting to escape Allah's determination. In Islam, preventive health care is very, very, very relevant. Nobody denies it. That immunization, that's a different issue. We've been talking on that. Preventive health care is in fact more important than curative health care. Yeah, because prevention is better than what? Cure. Al-wiqaya khair min al-ilaj. So, now, فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ, you have seen it with your eyes. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْدُرُونَ, you watch it. Next ayah.
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ.
This is ayah 144 of Surah 3, Ali Imran, talking about the status of this man, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like I was saying, it is in this place where his name is mentioned. In this place, the second place, yesterday I said it. Which place again? Yesterday I said it. Surah Al-Ahzab. The third place is in Surah Muhammad. The fourth place is in Surah Fath. The only places where his name is clearly mentioned, Muhammad. Otherwise, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, Ya ayyuhal Nabi, Ya ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, as a mark of honor. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only in this place, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ الْأَحَذَابِ مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Surah Muhammad. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وآمنوا بما نزل على محمد وهو الحق من ربهم الفتح محمد رسول الله. Okay, now Allah says وما محمد إلا رسول. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is no more than a messenger. قد خلت من قبله الرسل. Many messengers did pass away before his advent. May I ask the honorable congregation, who was the immediate messenger before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Isa, the son of Maryam. Isa, the son of Maryam, not the son of God. He didn't claim to be the son of God, did he? But the quote for you, John 3:16. For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 in the New Testament. What is the response? Answer them biblically. Don't answer Quranically or Sunnatically or Hadithically. Answer them biblically. Jesus was not son of God. Read Exodus chapter 4 verse 22. Read Psalm 27. Okay, among others, he never claimed to be son of God. Okay, a different issue. Just by way of example, he was the immediate messenger before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Isa. Between them, how many years? Now, some scholars are saying our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year 570. Some say in 571. A difference of only 1 year. 570, some you say AD. No, it's not AD. CE. AD is a blasphemous expression. Yes, blasphemous. Right. But according to the Muslim chronicle writers, the difference between them was that of 600 years. Between Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was no more a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. So messengers did come before him. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ, if he died, أَوْ قُتِلْ, or get killed, انقلبتم على اعقابكم. Does that give you justification to turn against a man? If that is what you're saying, okay, listen. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ, whoever that turns away against the Imam because of the death of the Prophet or because of any displeasure, the ayah was not talking only to the Sahaba. Anybody claiming to be a Muslim and before he dies, أعوذ بالله, he becomes a kafir, then Allah says, فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, he will harm Allah by no any means. If the whole world today refuses Islam, and so what? Allah is not harmed. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْآلَمِينَ, Allah is self-sufficient, is not in need of his servant. You fast in Ramadan, do you think you are doing something for, you feel you are increasing Allah in anything? No. It's your own goodness. He did create you. He gives you health. He asked you to do it. The result is going to be your own. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ, and Allah will swiftly reward those who serve him with gratitude. Oh Allah, make us to be amongst the ash-shakirin. We have enough time still? It's time. Okay. We are inshallah moving tomorrow by Allah's grace from ayah 145, telling us no one can die save by God's permission. Yeah. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. That's going to be tomorrow, inshallah. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله تعالى continue to increase my life in good health and knowledge. Now, before we continue in the questions and answers, there are some vital announcements we want to pass to you. First and foremost, there is this business we want to introduce to you for those who will partake in it. And the business is a very fruitful one, especially in this month of Ramadan. In short, it is about sponsorship of transport fare for the person that will be taking the tafsir, especially that of Hausa, from Kaduna to other places, especially Jigawa and I think Bauchi State. Actually, the media houses there have voluntarily given an airtime for the tafsir to be aired. But as you know, and the burden lies on us, but as we have always been telling you, even as it is now, even those in Kaduna who have not finished or have not completed the paying, so but this is another one, and the more the tafsir go, the wider it goes, the wider the rahmah for anybody that can sponsor just the transportation for that person. So please, my dear brothers and sisters, whoever among you that is able can come forward. Somebody did it last year, only to Jigawa. But as you can see, Allah Ta'ala is putting barakah in it. It is continually expanding. So please, dear brothers and sisters, we are calling on you to generously. It's not the plate donation we are talking about. No, this is a special one. Please do come forward that inshallah Ta'ala we may share in the barakah of this Ramadan and the extending the tafsir to other people that are not opportunity to be here. Then on the airing times, it's like some of us are getting it mixed up, or maybe we should just remind ourselves. One, the Hausa tafsir that is aired on DITV is between the hours of 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. that is in the afternoon, and Capital TV is 10 o'clock to 11 p.m. that is in the night. Then, like I told you yesterday, that of the NTA that is 30 minutes, we still, inshallah, are going to sort it out. It coincides with the time. You know, NTA have no stable time. And the only stable time they think they have now is that time between 4:30 to 5 a.m. And, you know, being a government-owned media house, any time that the national program, of course, it supersedes every other program they have. So they don't have a stable time for us. So, but like I said, they are able to spare 4:30 to 5 a.m. for us, of which it is not convenient. Like I said, it coincides with the Hausa Tafsir aired on radio, FRC and Kaduna. So we hope it is going to improve. That is that. Then in terms of Tafsir, some people think the Hausa Tafsir that starts at 8:30 p.m. at the Kaduna Polytechnic is 9 o'clock. It is not 9 o'clock. It starts, inshallah, every day, unless a circumstance warrants otherwise. It's 8:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. That is our desire. And that of this place is 4:15 to 6:15, inshallah. Then our recorders have gone further to make things easier for us. They've got they've condensed the tafsir into one plate now. A four-day tafsir have been condensed into one tape now, one plate now, in the form of a DVD. Tafsir, then question and answers separate. And it is ready for purchase. You can contact them outside. DVD. They didn't tell me the amount. So, but when you get there, you will know. Then we just want to remind ourselves about our annual Ramadan lecture. The 10th annual Ramadan lecture. It is coming up on the 15th of Ramadan, 1429, which coincides with 14th September 2008. The theme, Educational Revolution in the Ummah. The topics, the first topic to be treated is our heritage, our rights. The lecturer is Sheikh Umar Abdullah Hidara Payeko. Time, 9 a.m. The second topic is the pen. Whatever it is about the pen, we have Ustaz Muhammad Isa to explain to us. Time, 1:15 p.m. Venue, Gamji Gate Auditorium, Kaduna. So please do endeavor to tell others, invite others to the tafsir, and equally invite others to these programs we've explained to you. Now we go into the questions and the answers session. I just want to advise us that anytime you have questions to pass on, don't wait until this question and answers period, because if you wait till then, we may not be able to sort them out for better arrangement. Assalamu alaikum, madam. Please, madam, what is tatween? And what is the implication, as it is said, that it is women that practices it more? Tatween.
Tatween means al-washim. Al-washim. Yeah, that's the name. In Arabic, it's al-washim. In English, we call it tatween. Somebody tatooing his body. Maybe some kind of, some using in fire to tattoo the body. But today in the West, you see a lot of people doing it on their own skin. Some, is it bleaching? Some is more than bleaching. But what it means in its original form, it's called al-washi. Okay, leaving some marks on your body by any means, with the intention of beautification, of attracting people's attention to you. That is the twin, the way I understand it. Unless otherwise you have a different definition for that. And that is al-washim. In a hadith, la'an Allah al-washim wal-mustanshim. Those doing it, those inviting for it being done, those making it facilitated to be done, stand condemned in the eyes of Allah. Nasallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum. Please, yeah, Ustaz, I want to know, is it haram to have a handshake with a kafir after performing wudu, after ablution?
Having handshake with a non-believer is not haram. There is no nafs categorical that says by merely shaking with a non-believer you committed haram. It's not haram.
No.
Unless if you do it with a different view, that because of the love you have for him, you do it for that. If that's the intention, then it becomes haram because of the intention, not because of the practice. Allahu
alam. Assalamu alaikum. Well, please, I want the reconciliation between these two saints of Rasulullah sallam. One that says it's better for women to stay in their houses to pray, and the one that encourages them to go to the mosque.
No. The one that says it is better for women to remain in their houses and homes and pray, that one is a categorical command. Remain. But the other one is telling you, well, in case they want to go, it is permissible. Something, do so and so. But it's permitted also to do so and so. So there is harmony between the two. Allahu
Alam. Which means it is the rule and the allowable.
Exactly.
The rule is they should stay at home.
Exactly.
It's allowed.
That it is allowed, they should go out. لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله وليخرج تفلات غير مزينة. That's the riwayah there. Don't bar Allah's servant, female, to go to the houses of Allah. But when they go out, make sure they are not out with tantalizing features. Okay, with ornaments to attract people's attention.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Malam, concerning the prohibition of any transaction on the day of prayer, especially when the imam is on the minbar. Now, especially in Kaduna here, we have different times for the Jumu'ah prayer. Some pray at 1, some at 2, even 2:30. Now, if after finishing, if suppose I did my prayer at 1 o'clock, and I go back to my business, even though the 2 o'clock imam is still on the minbar, is it allowed?
Yeah, it's allowed.
No.
Because you are forbidden from going to conduct commercial transaction when the imam mounts the pulpit, okay, on the minbar. You don't transact anything there. Because the Quran is very clear. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُ الْبَيْعِ. So if you know you are going to 1 o'clock Friday prayer, and the call to prayer is made, it becomes freedom for you to go. But by coming back, you can go and do your own transaction, because the prayer for that day has been done by you. But if you feel like saying, okay, just in solidarity with others, in honoring them, I am suspending until everyone has finished, that is very good of you. That is allowed.
Assalamu alaikum. This is a woman who is fasting, and she observed that a fluid is coming out of her in a form of mani, and is very, very frequent, but it is not intentional. What is the state of her fasting?
Her fasting is okay. The fasting remains intact. You said not intentional, not deliberate. So something coming out of her control. She has no way to control it than to just go consult a doctor, or if it is a medical, something having to do with some physiological abnormality, so to say, for example. She better go for medical attention. But as far as the position of what do you say concerning the fluid, there is nothing wrong there. She just go and wash it. Allahu
Alam. Assalamu alaikum. What is the position of Islam on foreign exchange, i.e. buying a dollar with a naira or vice versa, just like the business is called bill exchange?
May I politely request you to go and have the cassette? I have delivered a lecture fully today from 10 o'clock, in the morning to around 1,
okay,
Katuru Learning Center. I talked on business, Muslim participation in business. What is the definition of business contemporarily? The presence of Muslim participating in businesses. Questions like this were thrown and were treated. So please go and get the cassette there.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. I was on a motion when someone's money flew out of his pocket without his knowledge, and I picked the money and I was unable to reach the brother or the person. Please, Mala, what can I do with the money?
Give it to someone in need as a charity, and the reward will be recorded for the right owner. No. That's the best.
No, you cannot spend it.
Well, that's why I am reluctant to open that gate of letting him spend it, unless if he is compelled by a necessity. Not the necessity, a necessity. And that can be is conceivable, it can be conceived. For example, he has been looking for the honor without any success. It proved abortive. And now he is in a dire need of cash, and the money is there. So some scholars are of the view he should divide the amount into three equal parts. Let him take one part, spend it as a sadaqah to himself. Allah will give the reward to the right owner. But I am hesitant to settle for this kind of fatwa. Preferably, let him give it to someone as sadaqah. It's much safer.
Assalamu alaikum. Madam, there is this brother who does not pray salat even in this month of Ramadan, but he still confesses to be a Muslim. That is, he said he believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
It's not a Muslim. العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة من تركها فقد كفر, says the Prophet. Okay, the covenant that makes us different from them is prayer. He who leaves prayer becomes a kafir. Even though the ulama have different views concerning the word kafir there. Some are saying kufrun duna kufr, just as in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Allah calls people in a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't turn away unbelievers, kafirun, fighting one another. لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. He said كفار. But in one ayah he says, وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا. When two groups of believers fight. So the ulama now said, okay, in the hadith, he said, don't turn back as unbelievers fighting. Here in Quran, the same people fighting, but Allah calls them believers. So the word kafara in the hadith does not mean the actual kufr that you tend to know or to perceive. But I think this is just an exercise in a kind of futility. The statement is categorically clear. The difference between believers and non-believers is prayer. He who leaves it becomes a kafir. That is the view that has more weight as far as we are concerned. So no true Muslim should play with prayer. Otherwise, his faith will be the faith of unbelievers. So if he claims to be a believer without praying, he's just joking. He's joking, and especially in this very important month of Ramadan. Yes.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. This one says, Malam, I love you for Allah's sake. And my question is, a day before yesterday, you listed the types of women that one cannot marry, including sisters. Then these are twin sisters that they are so engaged, they are so close that they are hardly separated, and they are saying they are going to marry the same man. What about that man?
I ask Allah, for the sake of whom you love me, to love you as well. Because the Prophet said, if somebody says, I love you, tell him, أَحَبَّكَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي فِي. So may Allah gather us in the paradise on the day of judgment, because إِنَّ الْمُتَحَبِّينَ فِي اللَّهِ فِي ذِلِّ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. As for the question or the drama you are now making us to hear it, that twin sisters, because of their being twin, so intimate, that they are going to marry one and single man as their husband. To maintain what? Twinship. But it's haram. Take it. It's what? Haram. Quran says it. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ صَلَفَ. It's not legal is haram to combine two seizures simultaneously, save what took place during the Jahiliyyah period. So they should be educated, they should be enlightened. It should be explained to them that please stop it. This is what Allah says. If you do it, then you cannot be true believers. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
A brother met us in the masjid while praying Taraweeh, and he joined us on the 8th rak'ah. And when asked, and he had not prayed Isha'iyah, but when asked, he said his intention was for Isha'iyah while they were praying Taraweeh. What is this?
It's okay. Any trouble? It's okay. I know it could be troublesome for some, but it's okay. It has been established sematically in riwayah, in narration, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Yes. So it's okay. I can come and join an imam of the congregation during Taraweeh. But my intention is Isha. It's legal. But the only thing is that you have to be cognizant of the people. Some get easily confused. So in this case, don't give fatwa on that until people are thoroughly enlightened, educated. You have to have what the ulama call fiqh da'wah. Okay. You have to be realistic of the realities on the ground. But yes, it is okay. If you do it, you have no problem. Allahu a'lam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
This is a girl who was born a Muslim, but later the mother got separated from the husband, and unfortunately she converted to Christianity. The mother took the girl from the father and was forcing this girl to go to the church. And now it is the month of Ramadan. She had no even hidden place to pray, not to talk of a hidden place to fast. What is your advice for this sister?
Allah, my advice is that she should take the case to a body like Micah for counseling. And I do believe she stands the better chances of gaining more. It's not for me to say it here. It is better. It is pertinent for her to come and meet them. Come and meet them. Inshallah, I will tell them some of the news when we meet later. Plus, what they are going to tell you, you will have a lot by the grace of Allah. And please pray for her. Now. Khalas? اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادة المؤمنين وانصر عبادة المؤمنين وانصر عبادة الموحدين برحمتك أرحم الراحمين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين